to start the show with them. Let me know what you think. Send me an email at betsy@thegreenfront.com. I can't possibly cover it all. I try to pick the top two or three stories of the week, and boy, we have a lot to talk about today. Just want to mention for next week, I'm expecting to have Auden Schindler on the program. He is in charge at the Aspen Snowmass Ski Resort. He has been a real pioneer on the climate change alarm scene for years. He's been talking about what this is going to do, climate change, to the ski industry, and this, of course, is being felt very hard, the lack of snow in Colorado, Utah, as well as California and the East Coast, as you just heard. It's pretty unseasonably mild everywhere, and while that is kind of nice, we have temperatures in the 60s here in the Bay Area, it is kind of strange, global weirding for mid-January. So Auden's going to be joining me to talk about what this portends next week. He wasn't available this week, but I have two great guests in our second half. We'll be taking a look at something a little on the softer feature side, but I like to cover the breaking news and then also trends. And a woman named Molly Arthur is going to be joining us. She's with a group called Eco Births. We'll find out what having a green birth really means and the significance of that and potential societal repercussions. But now we're going to jump into the politics, and there's plenty to talk about there. Just came across a couple of big stories. Of course, one of them I want to mention, and we're trying to get her on as well, and that is Dr. Catherine Hayhoe. She is the scientist who wrote a chapter, gratis, as a matter of fact, for Newt Gingrich's book on climate change. She is an evangelical believer, and she has religious views that say we really should be dealing with creation by not destroying creation, and she's getting a lot of heat. All the hate mongers, all the Fox News watchers have been sending her hate mail, death threats every day, so we're trying to get her on the show to find out what that is like, being in the middle of that heat, that storm, that hopefully will happen next week. And also the doomsday clock. I don't know if you saw this news. It just came out today. Yesterday, the people who set the doomsday clock just moved us 1 minute closer to midnight, to doom, and that is in large part because we continue to ignore climate change realities at our own peril, as well as not dealing with the nuclear threat. So we'll hopefully have someone on to talk about that next week as well. But first, I'm very pleased to welcome to the Green Front Jeffrey Ernst Friedman. He is with a wonderful group I've just recently found out about called MapLight, and he is a research director there, and he's going to be talking about how they followed the money to see, not surprisingly, that there was a lot of oil money behind the Keystone XL controversy, and of course that is still very much up in the air, so very current story as well. And the MapLight organization is a nonpartisan research group that reveals money's influence on politics, and of course that is a huge connection there. And welcome to the Green Front, Jeffrey. Thanks for joining me. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, sorry. Thanks for being here. I would love to find out what you found in your research, but first just give me a little bit of background about MapLight. It's an organization certainly whose time has come. Are you newly organized because of all the influence that we're seeing lobbyists have on our politics and our nation's future, or have you guys been there a while and it's just now coming to the forefront because we're realizing that there's so many problems that are coming out of, you know, policies being dictated by special interest groups?
We're organizations a little over 5 years old now, but we started off at California State focused. Now we cover California and federal as well as a Wisconsin state contribution. So we do independent research on groups that support and oppose legislation, and we tie that to industry funding and look at how often the money from the groups that support and oppose certain political outcomes get their way, and trying to highlight how often our system is just tilted to the groups that have the money.
Now, it wouldn't surprise anyone, certainly no one listening to this show or this progressive radio network, that there is a lot of fossil fuel money behind the effort to get the Keystone XL pipeline passed, and it is in President Obama's hands, so a lot of the attention, as it should be, the spotlight focused on him and his decision, which I guess will have to come in the next 6 weeks or so. But this is a whole new level. I think there was almost a threat or a veiled threat coming from the oil industry if President Obama does, in fact, do what we consider, we environmentalists, the right thing and nix this bad idea.
Yeah, we you know, reading the news, you know, following the trends like everybody else out there, and noticed there's a lot of coverage of the American Petroleum Institute saying that there would be huge political consequences for not approving the Keystone Pipeline, and that kind of just sparked in my head, what does that actually mean financially? You know, like who's the intended audience of that comment? And obviously, you know, it's a member of Congress who would be the greatest. You know, it would suffer the greatest for that. So we looked into the money and what that would mean, and we saw over a very recent time frame of 2 years of available data, there was $12 million that is poured into the campaigns of members of Congress. And we, you know, they just elected, you know, looked into who would, you know, it's not with how contributions work, you know, a very small area, you know, money can go a lot further than if it was up in California or something like that. So we looked at how the oil and gas contributions were a relative interest group to others, and looked at how those members voted on a recent Keystone Pipeline bills, and we just looked at that. And I just, as I was scrolling down, as the top one, everyone voted in favor of expediting the approval. Number two, everyone voted in favor of expediting the approval. And when it took a while to get down to find anyone who voted against it who had oil and gas in their top ten. And so that's, you know, just, you know, those were listening. Members of Congress were already listening that there was consequences attached to the issue like of the Keystone Pipeline.
And that threat that there would be huge political consequences did not come from someone behind the scenes at American Petroleum Institute. In fact, you report that it came from Jack Girard, who is the head of the API. So apparently he has no concerns about how this might sound.
I think he probably is fully aware of how it might sound, and you know how it might sound, and that's what they're after. And I think they want to make sure that they're relevant, and all groups are part of this. It's not just petroleum group, but every interest group, you know, uses their ability to raise campaign finance to get their for these lawmakers to get their way. And we view that as a problem, is that you don't get to have an honest debate about what the issues are and what's in the best interest, because it boils down to who has the most money and who has the most to give for, and even more important, who has the most to give against a lawmaker.
And it's hardly a level playing field. Those who would be for the future of the planet and lack of pollution and investing in more sustainable, renewable sources of energy always have a lot less money, and always will, than the fossil fuel industry, and that's obviously a big understatement. So how bad is the situation, and what are the repercussions? I mean, decisions are being made, policies being made that is going to have consequences for generations to come.
Yeah, it's this particularly talk about environmental issues. You know, it's easy to see longstanding consequences, but it's not just that. You know, it extends to all issues, and it's really just goes down to not having a honest debate about what is the pipeline, what's the purpose of the pipeline, who most benefits from it, and the issue is about. You know, it's been discussed about whether it's domestic security for oil and where is the oil going. You know, it's like once the pipeline is completed, and it's really, that's not about the conversation at all. Unfortunately, it's just very short-term issues, and it's we try to highlight how money influences the conversation to the point of just moving it along to the next one as fast as possible.
And where do you take your research? Is it reaching members of Congress and you know, political influencers, opinion leaders, do you think? Because this is really important. Again, not necessarily surprising, but you actually, you know, break it down in terms of who voted how and who got how much money. It makes it just really black and white, or, if you will, green in terms of following the money.
Our focus is tends to be journalists and researchers, and we have a website, maplight.org, and anyone can sign up for our to sign up our RSS and receive our posts. But it's really, we're trying to get out to the people who have the greatest ability to send it to others. So it's shows like this that allow us the opportunity to talk about how, you know, money has influenced the political outcomes to the detriment of people who live here.
Absolutely, and not to mention generations to come, because, of course, the consequences of global warming, climate change, will only continue to be felt even if we started doing the right thing tomorrow. And your research shows that we're, you know, a long way from that, as if we didn't know that, but it really kind of proves it. So what if you were president, what would you do, Jeffrey? What would you like to see happen? Because this is a real, you know, toxic, endemic problem that seems to be embedded in our, you know, political system, and we need to make changes quickly because, again, decisions are being made that have huge consequences.
Unfortunately, whoever is president doesn't have much of the ability to fix the system, and it's going to take elements from the entire political spectrum to kind of realize that it's almost mutual destruction about groups who are influencing outcomes. So I would, you know, MapLite would like to see a system where campaign finance isn't the sole requirement for getting elected, and it would be if we can somehow find a way to remove the ability to raise money as the first measure of the quality of a lawmaker, I think we'd be much closer to getting to a world where, you know, political outcomes are revealed to be in the best interest of citizens.
Maybe we should just make lobbying illegal. I mean, it really almost is going to take that, because even though there's lobbyists on the good side, the good fight for our environment, for we earthers, as some of those on Fox News call us who care about our environment and clean air and pollution-free future, it seems that, you know, it's just so unwieldy, and it always will be, you know, and never has it been more obvious than with this, you know, Keystone fight. And, of course, the president himself, President Obama, can make, you know, this decision on his own without, you know, being fettered by Congress. So do you think he will do the right thing? Can you make any predictions? Do you think your research might have, you know, if it reaches, you know, far and wide enough, you know, some influence to show that the influence is really, again, loaded in the wrong direction and the president might do the right thing?
I would hope that our research is extending, you know, both high and wide. You know, the outcome, you know, it's really difficult to say what it is. And I think what's gone into the calculation with the president is looking at environmental groups on one side and labor unions that want to support it on the other, and they feel that he's in a problem because they're both campaign contributors. And we see that as the perfect example of why this is a problem, is solely because groups are campaign contributors, do they get a seat at the table? And it's not, the discussion isn't about what's the best issue. And MapLite doesn't have an opinion on what is the best outcome. We've tried to focus on the political system and how problematic it is.
And, of course, the estimates of the jobs that would be created has been grossly exaggerated, certainly in light of the commercials that the oil interests, the Canadian oil interests, are running on television. And, you know, there's environmental concerns, too. I guess the environmental lobby groups don't have quite as much clout and money and power as the unions do, certainly not as much as the fossil fuel industry does. But this is an environmental question, as well as, yes, there will be some jobs created, but nothing close to what they predicted, not hundreds of thousands. Some say not even tens of thousands, maybe just a few thousand. The president has until February 21st, I believe, to make a decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the part of the payroll tax compromise. That was language. Deadline was inserted into that language, and so they have.
How sticky was that? Yeah, not entirely surprising that they tried to put it through there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was definitely viewed as a sweetener. You know, like, and what was the, you know, who most benefited by that outcome, you know, and it's the industries that were able, who had the ability to influence lawmakers to get it into that language. And I think that's, again, it goes back to only the groups that have the money to get a seat at the table are allowed to get their issues addressed, and that's problematic.
Can you point out any of the good guys? I believe Edward Markey, of course, who's been a real leader in Congress on climate change action, has not been successful in getting much passed through, but he was a standout.
Yeah, and our report found that Markey was one of the two who, of the top 10 contributing interest groups, who voted against it. But, you know, we don't, you know, really like to view paint people as good guys and bad guys, because one issue, they could show that they're not under the influence, and another one they are. And it's really the system that allows campaign finance to dominate outcomes is the problem. And I think it's, you know, it's up to individuals to view whether they think that their lawmaker is doing a good job or not, or in the best interest of their local demographic. And, you know, people should be more engaged and more informed, and hopefully MapLite is a website that they can go to see, you know, whether they agree with the outcomes or not.
Absolutely. And among those who should be more informed, you would think, are the presidential contenders, those who would be in the White House who are not particularly green on the red side. course, I'm talking about the current crop of Republican presidential contenders, not one of whom believes, maybe John Huntsman, depends on the day, that we need to do anything about climate change if they even acknowledge that it is a real threat. And you notice that in the debates, I'm sure you did, I did, not one question has come up about climate change or the need to really invest in, you know, alternative sources of energy. It'd be laughable if it didn't have such serious consequences.
And I think, people should look at the campaign contributions of these individuals and see if they feel that there is a direct, you know, reason for that. Do lawmakers tend to gravitate towards a position, or is it lawmakers already have a position, get elevated, or politicians, excuse me, you know, get elevated because they already feel a certain way, and it's the ability to have money from certain groups allows those positions to be put in the forefront, or almost problematic. Equally problematic is issues are quiet because certain groups don't want them to be brought up.
So, who is funding MapLight? Are you a nonprofit organization, research organization?
Yeah, we're a nonprofit, nonpartisan research organization that gets a lot of its foundation. It's foundation funded. We get small percentages from individual donors, but we do Gabote Foundation and a few others. I'm not connected to the funding side. It's completely separate, so I don't have it off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. But if you go to maplight.org, all of that information is displayed on our website.
Mm-hmm. And what other issues have you looked closely at, including this one, which is certainly very current?
Mm-hmm. We had a recent ones where we talk about sponsors of SOPA, which is a Stop Online Piracy Act, and it's kind of, it pits Hollywood. We looked at it as Hollywood versus Silicon Valley, and it looks at the interests of the entertainment industry versus internet companies, and I don't know how informed you are of this issue, but it's essentially it kind of allows the Department of Justice to shut down sites that sell pirated information, trademarked products, and just kind of looking how one group, these two very powerful groups are able to get their issue in front of Congress and get a large debate about it because they have the clout to get it to mm-hmm. In front of lawmakers, and I think it's just kind of interesting. If you have enough money to make your issue, you can get your issue out in front, and that's, again, is problematic. It's, you know, I don't know if people would view that internet piracy is the biggest issue facing the country right now.
Quite as urgent, not quite as urgent as climate change, with especially all this wacky weather we're seeing, but certainly, you know, another hot topic, pardon the pun.
Yeah.
And what else? Any other issues that you're shining your spotlight on? And I think it's a great thing because that's exactly what you're doing, is sort of uncovering what's heretofore been unseen or hidden deliberately in many cases.
We've looked at the private investment from private equity groups. You know, there's a lot of focus on Mitt Romney and his connections to private equity firms. You know, he worked at Bain Capital. And just kind of looked at how that money kind of is pervasive across all of Congress. It's actually given significantly more to Democrats than Republicans over a recent time frame. And so it's just, you know, no one is free from this influence. You know, it's almost like pointing it out to one person is almost because they're, you know, equally guilty, and they're just trying to push the light onto someone else. But one of the benefits of the MapLight website is that anyone can log on and do their own search, go to a politician page, see who their top contributors are, put a company name into our contribution search, and see which lawmakers have received contributions from those. We're actually launching company pages that will focus on the top 200 contributing organizations, unions, companies, trade associations that have given, and you can see which bills they have taken a position on, how successful they are getting their way, and just kind of, again, turns up that issue to individuals so they can use that as another measure to gauge how successful their lawmaker has been.
And I see on your website two of your core supporters are Sunlight Foundation and OpenSecrets.org, mm-hmm. So similar names even to MapLight, shining the light and bringing the secrets out of the dark. Mm-hmm. Very important work. It reminds me of the League of Conservation Voters. They have a tremendous service, and that is their environmental scorecard. And everyone, of course, should be concerned about whoever they're voting for at whatever level and their track record on environmental issues, and that's a great way to educate oneself quickly, you know, if they're, you know, are not sure.
Yeah, that's true.
And Yeah, really, really important to be doing the work you're doing. So I thank you for that. Anything else you'd like to add? Anything coming up on the horizon that we should be aware of? Work that you're doing now?
We're just trying to follow whatever the main trend is. Just trying to inject our viewpoint on the negative effects of contributions into the spotlight. So it's as the year rolls on, we're just trying to follow whatever is Congress is doing and just say, just kind of connect the money to outcomes. And so we're...
And I would imagine you'll be getting more attention as mm-hmm. people increasingly, both mm-hmm. sides of the aisle, really, from a lot of different corners are starting to realize this is the core of the problem. A big part of it is, mm-hmm. The lobbyists, the money, and how it's certainly not a level playing field. Decisions are not being made that are so important, necessarily based on the merit alone. And not news, but I think it's just becoming painfully clear the consequences mm-hmm. of this practice.
If you have to run into someone who has a problem with what we're doing or doesn't understand that what we're uh-huh. doing is necessary, but it always goes back to when your side does it, it's okay, and the other side doesn't, it's not okay, and you go to the other side and it's flipped, and so it's really everyone agrees it's a problem and is kind of coming up with solutions to get us to good outcomes is what we hope to accomplish.
I don't know. Jack Girard, the head of the American Petroleum Institute, might not love what you're doing so much. But then again, maybe they have no shame. Seems sometimes that they don't, contributing something like $12 million, and that's just so far, right, to this. Could more money be pouring in between now and February 21st?
I feel it's, contributions will always run in these kind of spikes during different issues, but the $12 million represents the oil and gas industry as a whole, which is, it's not just that the trade association itself doesn't give too much, but they represent interests that give, $12 million collectively over a short time frame. So we'll absolutely see more money pouring into not only members of Congress but presidential candidates, and then of course, we haven't even touched on super PACs, where we don't even get to see where that money, where it comes from, and how much it is. It's a system that's getting more complicated, and the outcomes are less favorable to individual citizens. And I think that's the trend that we hope to highlight as a problem and find a better solution.
Well, hopefully things are getting so bad that they'll be hard to ignore, and we can start sending the pendulum in the opposite direction as far as, PAC contributions and influencing legislators on such important issues. Thank you so much for your comments and for your great work. Jeffrey Ernst Friedman is with the group MapLight.org. They are a nonpartisan research organization that reveals money's influence on politics. Very timely organization and really important work. So thanks for what you do. Thanks for joining us on the Green Front. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about eco-births. That's pure and innocent. We'll find out how you can have a greener arrival of your baby and the consequences of that for the environment and health in general. We'll be speaking with Molly Arthur right after these messages. You're listening to the Green Front. I'm Betsy Rosenberg. Stay with us.